Welcome to another edition of San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley. Without further ado, enjoy the program.
Feeling isolated, scared, anxious, like your world is collapsing around you? Well, you're not alone. This can be an extremely difficult time for everyone as we navigate through uncharted territory. There are things that you can do to help yourself and others around you, as well as people you can talk to. If you are experiencing a crisis, you can call the San Luis Valley Behavioral Health Group at 719-589-3671. That's 719-589-3671. Or you can call the Colorado Crisis Hotline at 1-844-493-8255. That's 1-844-493-8255. Or you can text TALK, T-A-L-K, to 38255. That's 38255 to receive mental health crisis support. Someone is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to take your call and help you through this difficult time. To find out more about these trying times, breaking patterns, how it's okay to feel anxious, and some suggestions on what you can do, listen as we discuss these issues and more with some of the great folks at the San Luis Valley Behavioral Health Group.
I'm Adam, and whatever your personal mental situation is right now, you should know that help remains available. And we're all facing difficult times during this COVID-19 crisis, and stresses and strains on our own mental health matter a great deal. To assist those of us in the San Luis Valley and beyond in helping to understand what some of the signs of mental stress are and what you can do about it, we've reached out to the San Luis Valley Behavioral Health Group for more information. Joining us remotely, Jennifer Silva, Chief Clinical Officer. Tammy Obi is the Emergency Services Supervisor, and Azrael Madrigal Chase, Grants Manager and Disaster Coordinator. Ladies, welcome to SL Voices, and let's get right to the issues that are at the forefront of most people's minds. COVID-19, the ongoing isolation, and our own mental health. As has been said, isolation is good for our physical health, but not necessarily our mental health. Ladies, can you expand on that?
First of all, Adam, thanks for having us. This is Jennifer Silva. And I want to start just by saying that we are wired for human connection, and we all strive to be part of a larger whole. And when we face isolation, it really affects our psychological and our physical health. When we feel stress, we tend to really look to our natural supports and look for social interaction for comfort and affirmation. And when we're cut off from that, the feelings of isolation can just be tremendous. Depression, anxiety, trouble sleeping are all pretty common. I'll open it up for Tammy and Azrael for anything you want to add.
I just wanted to say that during the social distancing time, that doesn't mean social isolation. It's also a time where we can reach out to family and friends by phone or FaceTime or social media, reaching out to a neighbor, checking in with them. If you're making a run to the grocery store, maybe ask your neighbor if they need something to avoid them going into town and they get their needs met and you're able to help on some kind of level. This is a unique situation and complete and total uncharted territory, I think, for everybody. So we're all learning how to navigate this at the same time. And in doing so, we can still reach out and be there for one another. And a big thing is to be kind to each other and to ourselves.
Excellent advice.
No other information to add, but I just want to reiterate how important it is to recognize that this isn't a normal situation. And that it's important to keep things that we can control in control. I know personally, I've been utilizing free tools online like Google Hangouts to be able to interact with my friends and some of my supports that I'm currently not able to just drop by and visit.
What is the San Luis Valley Behavioral Health Group doing to help people at this time?
So right now, the San Luis Valley Behavioral Health Group is open for services, and we are providing services to all clients and also taking on new clients. So our psych services, our outpatient services, crisis services are all still in existence. The change for us right now is we're moving to either a telehealth model or telephonic service. So clients will be able to interface with their therapist or their prescriber via computer or cell phone.
Okay, great.
What we want to say is we're here to support community partners. We're here to help all of our clients in dealing with this stressful situation. But we also want to reach out to our community partners and our community hospital staff and really let them know we're here for them and able to help them process any anxiety or trauma that they may feel.
I was just going to mention that in addition, we're also closely working with public health agencies and with a regional healthcare coalition to distribute some resources to essential, quote unquote, what we call now essential staff that still have to put their health at risk by continuing to provide services such as healthcare and some of our other like food industry staff, grocery workers and other really vulnerable populations right now that can't stay home, can't quarantine necessarily. They still have to be out there providing services to the community.
What kind of resources does your organization have available for these people?
We have counseling services, medically assisted treatment with our mobile unit, emergency services, which is available 24/7 for call-in. We have the Colorado Crisis Line and medication management through our psych department for those individuals needing medication.
We have also developed a series of handouts that kind of talk about kind of coping with stress during disease outbreak. And we have distributed those out to community partners. And we also post those on our social media. So please make sure to like and follow us on Facebook at San Luis Valley Behavioral Health Group.
And of course, all your contact information will be on this podcast page. Are those handouts available as a PDF? Because if so, we can put those on the webpage as well.
They are PDF, and I will gladly share those with you.
Excellent. We'll post those on the page too. That way people have access to them. They can download them at their leisure. Ladies, why is monitoring and assessment of the mental health and well-being of essential personnel so important?
Essential personnel are not immune from the stress and anxiety of what's happening right now. So checking in with our staff, seeing how they're doing, seeing if there's anything that's needed, normalizing any feelings, thoughts and feelings that they have, I think are pretty essential in taking care of our staff. We, as essential personnel, we're worried for our own families and our own friends, and we're assisting people to help them navigate their own thoughts and feelings of worry and fear. And we're trying to help them with their own well-being and then try to manage everything in our own world. So while doing this, I think it's really important to check in with staff regarding what we call compassion fatigue, which typically happens when a caregiver burns a candle at both ends, taking care of themselves and taking care of other people that are in need of help. Compassion fatigue happens when you're helping people in distress. It's an extreme state of tension and preoccupation with those suffering to the degree that it can create secondary trauma for people in the helping field. So that is really why it's important to keep tabs on our own staff and the well-being of our essential personnel to make sure that they're okay and they can continue to carry on doing what they're doing.
And this is Jennifer. What I would add is just being a part of an essential staff during this time is how important it is for staff to be able to recognize taking a break when they need to, being able to kind of balance the amount of time they spend at work and family time, because it is a very stressful time for all of us. So I would really urge all caregivers to really take good care of themselves at this time and being able, like I said, to take breaks, set limits. It's just very important for staff and employers to be able to recognize the importance of taking care of their staff and staff taking care of themselves.
What are some of the things people who are still working or stuck at home should be engaging in?
So some of the things that we would definitely encourage for people still working or quarantining at home to engage in is self-monitoring, regular check-ins with colleagues, family, and friends, working in partnership, stress management breaks, regular peer consultation, really being acknowledging and recognizing your physical, emotional, and mental needs. Because if you're taking good care of yourself, you're going to be taking good care of others. And also assessing what your limits are. In psychological first aid, a training tool, the first thing that they teach you is acknowledge what your limitations are, because knowing those before you get there are really going to help you. One more thing to add is maintaining as much of a routine as possible. Still doing the things that you enjoy while keeping your limitations with this quarantine in place. If you still enjoy exercising, you should still exercise and just do it in a safe manner.
And I think this time is really teaching us how to work in teams at a distance, which is an interesting time. But what we find is, I mean, you have that corroboration with coworkers and then you work from home and it's a whole different environment. But what I would suggest is really having that contact with peers and having those Zoom meetings and having those conference calls and keeping them going just to have that connection with your team.
What are some things you would recommend we avoid doing and why?
I think one of the biggest things that we should avoid doing is really consuming news wisely. It can be overwhelming. We're getting bits and pieces of what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what you can do, what you can't do in different types of news media. And, you know, I have my own Facebook account and I am getting bombarded every day with different sources. So I think consuming what you're watching and what you're listening to for news and information, step away from it sometime, go out, take the dog for a walk, go read a book, paint or draw a picture. Do something to get yourself away from that media source and take it in small doses, because it can cause pretty significant anxiety with all of the different sources and just how monumentous this whole issue is. It's huge and it causes a lot of anxiety.
I think that's one of the biggest words or the most used words that I'm seeing now on social media is anxiety. So I was going to ask, for those that suffer from that, what recommendations, and I absolutely agree, disconnect from social media or the news, at least for a period of time every day.
What I would suggest is really watching your basic self-care as well. How well are you sleeping? Are you drinking water? What types of foods are you eating? Or is there an excess of sweets or caffeine? To really kind of look at those basic things to help you feel better. And really, are you taking time out for any type of taking a walk, for meditation, for really limiting how much time you're spending on social media and the news, which really can make those thoughts of anxiety worse?
And to add to that, I think that sometimes when we are, especially some of our frontline workers are in such a stressful situations, engage in self-talk for obstacles to self-care, such as like saying, it would be selfish for me to take a break. Others are working around the clock, so should I. And really not engaging on that type of negative talk and really being aware of your needs.
And really training yourself to do something different. We get into our routines. We go to work. We do what we need to do at work. We go home. You may cook dinner. That might be your TV time and you pick up your tablet and you look at social media or the news on your tablet. Making small changes, and this is, as a therapist, this is really what we tell clients that are kind of stuck in a rut. If you make small changes to do things different gradually over time, you get yourself into a new pattern. So you're not coming home and immediately turning on the news and immediately looking at Facebook and immediately looking at another news source on a tablet. You're not doing those things. If you make those small changes to kind of get out of that rut, you'll create new patterns to where you're actually practicing that self-care. You're being kind to yourself. You're doing things that are more focused on you and your family, as opposed to being so focused on the news and information and this pandemic.
Excellent advice.
I would also like to mention that as far as reliable sources on social media, through that I would like to mention for the state of Colorado, following the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment's Facebook page, also known as EDPHE, they are a good resource. And here originally for the San Luis Valley, SLV Emergency. They're also a great resource. Our regional emergency managers and public health agencies are all working together to put out accurate and relevant information.
That is one of the problems that we've noticed too. There's a lot of conjecture. There's a lot of other things on some pages. Some are very, very strict. We have tried to be very strict in that regard too, only citing verified sources of information. Because it's easy to rabbit trail and get off into who knows where, and suddenly you're reading things that simply aren't true in some cases.
Definitely.
It's the middle of the night. You're a young mother or father, and you've finally gotten your children to bed. They're exhausted now. They're worried, obviously highly anxious, maybe even temporarily unemployed. Is there anyone available they could talk to right then?
Well, one of the first resources we would suggest to people is the Colorado Crisis Line. That's 1-844-493-TALK. 8255. And that's a number that people can call 24/7. You know, they can speak to a counselor. It's confidential. It's private. And they're able to access that, like I said, 24/7. We also have our crisis mobile team with San Luis Valley Behavioral Health, who are also available 24/7. And they can access that team through the use of 911 and asking for the mental health clinician. Or during the day, they can call our business line, which is 719-589-3671. And ask to speak to our on-call clinician. So either of those two forms, that they'd be able to speak with somebody, like I said, it's private and confidential, and get the support that they need.
So there really is someone available 24/7 that someone could call. It doesn't matter what time of day or night.
That is correct.
Excellent. Tahaw is talking through our emotions a powerful tool to lower anxiety and heighten emotions.
In that respect, when something like this is happening, talking about your thoughts and feelings makes it so this enormous issue that's going on, it chips away at it and makes it smaller and smaller. And the more you talk about it, the more you can manage the unmanageable, if that makes any sense whatsoever. Just by talking about it and sharing your feelings and knowing that other people are feeling the same way you are, that also chips away at the enormity of this issue. It's one of those things that we're all scared. We all have fears. We're all hearing one thing on the TV and on Facebook and Twitter and all of those social media avenues. So it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you don't have anybody to talk to, it stays gigantic. When you talk about it and start learning that other people have the same thoughts and feelings that you do, you can feel like, okay, well, I'm actually not alone in this situation. We're all feeling anxious. We're all feeling fearful. All of the memes that I've been seeing on Facebook are absolutely hysterical. And that actually can help to decrease the enormity of the situation. So talking through your emotions is a powerful tool in that when you relate to other people in a situation like this and learn that those people are feeling the same types of things that you're feeling, it kind of brings that unity. And it's like, okay, yeah, we're all together in this situation. We've all got to do things to kind of take care of ourselves and take care of each other. And we can slowly chip away at this big problem that we're all experiencing right now.
What I would say is talk therapy is incredibly helpful for anxiety. It's like learning a new perspective on a situation and learning new skills and dealing with the anxiety. I mean, some skills are around mindfulness, being mindful, being in the moment, distraction, learning how to distract yourself when you are in the midst of having thoughts. Talk therapy can be incredibly helpful, especially during this time when we're all feeling anxious and nervous about the future.
And just to add real quick, feeling anxious during this time is completely normal.
Absolutely. What about the stigma surrounding mental health and men? Is there anything that can be done to overcome this?
Well, I think men in our society are socialized not to show emotion and not to be weak, so to speak. And so they tend to hold a lot in. What I would say is depression and suicide is one of the leading causes of death in men. So really being able to acknowledge that asking for help and asking for assistance is really an act of bravery and takes courage. And so I would really ask for people that are dealing with, like I said, depression or anxiety to really reach out and get the help that they need. It really, once again, is an act of bravery.
Sometimes men will prefer to talk to another man about certain things when we're feeling anxious and depressed, like during this time now, and that we do have male counselors available at mental health that we can set up counseling for. And then other times, of course, men would prefer to speak to a woman with these kinds of thoughts and feelings. So obviously we have women as well that are working at mental health. But just that reiteration of what Jennifer said, it is an act of bravery to let somebody know I've kind of reached my limit and it's okay to talk about it.
And I think for men to be able to make the connection too, that their behavioral health and their physical health are connected. And when you have a lot going on in behavioral health, it could lead to some chronic health issues. And so really tying those two in, really taking that angle where your behavioral health is part of your overall health, I think is very important.
San Luis Valley Behavioral Health Group has several locations throughout the San Luis Valley here. Are all of them still open at this time?
We are offering all of our services via telehealth and telephone. Our clinic is open. It's not open to the public. So like I said, all our services are telehealth or telephone in Alamosa and in La Jara and Mata Vista. So our current clients are able to access all of our resources and their therapists via those platforms. We also have our mobile MAT unit, which is an RV that travels the valley providing medication-assisted treatment. And that RV is on the road without disruption. So it spends one day a week in each of the various counties.
All right.
It's important to stress that we are taking new clients. Clients can call into our business phone line. The customer service representative will help them with intake paperwork and getting them set up with an appointment.
It's just done online and via email and the telephone. You don't have to actually physically go.
Right.
We're all staying safe.
Very good. What can we as private citizens do to help others here in our communities?
Stay home. No, seriously, stay home. If you are not considered an essential worker, if you have the opportunity to stay home, stay safe, wash your hands, that is the most important thing all private citizens can do right now.
And I would reiterate that staying home, but also supporting your neighbors and your friends from a safe distance. checking in with them by telephone or FaceTime and seeing if they need anything, if they need, you know, some grocery shopping or just to chat on the telephone, but staying safe, but also reaching out to those around you.
Ladies, is there anything else that you'd like to mention?
I think a general message is we are all in the same boat. Be kind to you and be kind to others.
And we appreciate the opportunity to be able to give thoughts and ideas out to the community. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Adam, and thank you, SL Voices. We appreciate you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Well, ladies, I want to thank you, too, for joining us to discuss mental health during this trying time in our little corner of the world. If you are in need, please don't hesitate to reach out to the San Luis Valley Behavioral Health Group for assistance. Again, all of their contact information is going to be on this podcast webpage for you to reference and use if or when you need. Remember, as Les Brown is quoted as saying, ask for help, not because you're weak, but because you want to remain strong. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
If you're anxious, scared, and feel like you are experiencing a crisis, locally, you can call the San Luis Valley Behavioral Health Group at 719-589-3671. That's 719-589-3671. Or you can call the Colorado Crisis Hotline at 1-844-493-8255. That's 1-844-493-8255. Or you can text TALK, T-A-L-K, to 38255. That's 38255 to receive mental health crisis support. Someone is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to take your call and help you through this difficult time. Remember, you don't have to go through this alone.
We appreciate you telling your friends to listen to the podcast on slvoices.com and check out our extensive calendar of events, more listings in one location than any other website around. You can help spread the word, too, by joining our Facebook group, SL Voices, Your Voice in the San Luis Valley, and liking our posts on other social media outlets. Also, check out our Instagram page for behind-the-scenes looks at what we do. And please patronize our local sponsors. Remember to support the businesses here in the Valley. Most are owned and operated by your friends, family, and neighbors. We all love this area and want to see it flourish. And you can help by buying and supporting locally in your own and surrounding communities. Check back for another local podcast soon. Until then, this has been San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley.